John, the 12th chapter. I'm going to begin the message with verse 35. Now, if you want to read the scripture that I'll be using for text tonight, I'm going to preach tonight from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, the first 13 verses. Matthew 25, but the first 13 verses. The title of tonight's message is there oil in the lamp? Is there oil in the lamp? And that'll be our text tonight. But now this morning, the hymn writer wrote these words. And some of you here today can enter into these words, probably more than others. He said, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim. Earth's glories fade away. Change and decay in all around, and in me I see. And then he turns toward the Lord and he said, O thou who changest not, abide with me. I thought of that when I read verse 35 of John 12. Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while, yet a little while, life's little day. Yet a little while is the light with you. Just a little while. What is the light? Christ is the light. Christ said, I am the light of the world. John the Baptist said, I'm not that light. I'm sent to bear witness of that light. He's the light. Christ is the light. Yet a little while is the light with you. I'll tell you another thing. The gospel of Christ is the light. The gospel. I'm not talking about a gospel or any gospel. I'm talking about the gospel. Paul said there's just one. It's the gospel of God's glory. It's the gospel of his grace. It's the gospel concerning his son. It's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. That gospel is the light. Yet a little while. Is it with you? The revelation of the person and work of Christ is the light. Who he is? Who is Jesus Christ? What did he do? Well, why did he do it? Well, where is he now? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's the light. It's called the light of the glory of God that's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the light. And yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Oh, it'll always be there, preacher, will it? He says, you walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. What's darkness? Removal of light. That's what darkness is. That's all. Turn off the light. Remove the light. Take a candle into the room, there's light. Take it out, there's darkness. And he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. A little while now is the light with you. You walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. How, Brother Mahan, how will I lose the gospel? God removed the gospel preacher. That's right. Remove the gospel preacher. He said to his disciples, you go to this place, if they won't receive you, you shake the dust off your feet and leave there as a witness against them. Removing you from the gospel. Taking you away from where the gospel's preached. You've got to have gospel to have light. You've got to have Christ to have light. You've got to have the preaching of Christ to have light. Well, there's churches everywhere, but there's not gospel everywhere. There are preachers everywhere, but there's not true preachers everywhere. And I'll tell you another thing. Believe me now, old age is coming upon you, senility. I know we laugh and joke about this, but this is no laughing matter. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the time draws near when you say, I just can't get it together. I just can't. I don't think like I used to, preacher. I don't see things. I don't grasp things like I used to. I don't either. Old age, senility, decay, the dulling of the mind, and death. Walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And verse 36, while you have light, while you have Christ, while you have the gospel, while you have a faithful preacher of the gospel, believe in the light. Believe him that you may be the children of God, the children of light. Not children of darkness and death, but children of light. Believe the light. They who believe are children of Abraham. He that believeth on the Son hath life. And these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. You say, that's an awful thing. Well, it's happened a lot of times. Christ left them. Christ departed from them. He hid himself from them. You know why? He knew them. He knew their hearts. It says in John 2:24, Christ needed not that any man should testify to him what was in man. He knew what was in man. He knew these people. He knew the depravity of their hearts, the wickedness of their hearts. He said in John 5:42, I know you. I know you. You have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name and you won't receive me. Let another come in his own name, promoting his own cause. Him you will receive. I know you, he said. You seek honor that comes from men. You're not interested in the honor that comes from God. And he walked off and hid himself. I know you. There's no need to spend any more time in your presence. You see, sometimes in Scripture, now listen to me, sometimes in the Word of God, men just live out their lives in unbelief. God just allows them to live out their lives, and he says their foot will slide in due time. In due time. The measure of the cup will be full, and they'll slide in due time. They'll live out their lives and play their games and make their claims, and then their feet will slide. But sometimes in the Scripture, men are left alone. That's exactly right. He said, leave Ephraim alone. Ephraim was still alive and well. And God said, leave him alone. He's gone to his idols. Now, just leave him alone. He's made his choice. That's what he wants. He's turned to his idols. Leave him alone. And then the disciples came to him one time and they said, the Pharisees were upset by what you preached. He said, leave them alone. Don't speak to them again. Leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And the blind lead the blind. They both fall in the ditch. Leave them alone. And then John talked about a man sinning a sin unto death and exhorted the church not to pray for him. Isn't that right? Don't pray for him. See, that's when God cuts them off. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And then sometimes men are judicially blinded and cut off in unbelief. 2 Thessalonians says this, they receive not the love of the truth. So God gave them strong delusions that they would believe a lie and be damned for believing a lie. So, walk a little while as the light with you. There may be somebody here this morning who's already left alone. Christ may already, I don't know, have departed and hid himself. It may be the word's already gone out from the heavenly court. Leave him alone. He's turned to his idols. Only God knows. But I'm sure for the most of us, it can be said the light is with you. Yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, he knows not where he's going. It's impossible. Darkness. Have you ever been in total darkness? And our Lord said, if that light which is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If the only light you got's wrong, how great is that darkness? Left alone, darkness, because Christ just left them. And I'll tell you, when he leaves, the light goes out. And that's darkness. And men are left to move, but they move wrong. Men are left to reach, but they don't know where they're reaching. They're liable to reach and pick up a snake in the darkness. They may reach for water and pick up poison in the darkness because they can't discern. Isn't that right? They can't discern in darkness. Darkness is confusion. And then verse 37, look here at the deep root and nature of this unbelief. Though he'd done so many miracles before them, so many miracles right before them, yet they did not believe. Believe in the light that you may be children of God. Believe. The Son of God had come, the Son of God with all these witnesses, he said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, but you sent unto John and he bear witness of me. And the Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Scriptures bear witness of me. I fulfill all that was written according to the Scriptures. And the works that I do bear witness of me. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. Yet they believe not. And our Lord said they won't believe though one rose from the dead. Oh, how deep-seated and deep-rooted is this unbelief. 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 They will not believe. And today, creation. People do not believe God, and the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. It's not a speech nor a language in which God's voice is not heard. The word of God is preserved miraculously for us. Christ Jesus came, suffered and died and rose again. We have experienced by observing men and women whom by His grace He's changed. We see the hand of God in all things, and yet we do not believe. And Isaiah wrote about us, verse 38. Isaiah, the prophet, this is a fulfillment of what he said. He said, Lord, who hath believed our gospel? Our report is our witness. Our report is our testimony. Our report is our gospel. Who hath believed it? You know anybody believes it? To whom is the arm? The arm is the power. The arm is the power, the glory. Christ is the arm of God. To whom is Christ revealed? I see. I see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. I see why He came. I see why He must come. I see what He did. I see Christ Jesus. To whom is that grace revealed? Verse 39, therefore they could not believe. They could not believe. Isaiah said again, Isaiah 6, in the 6th chapter, I believe it is, 9th chapter, verse 6, Isaiah said, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. You know how many times that one verse of Scripture is in the New Testament? 6 times. That right there. My friend, they could not believe. You say it's they would not believe. Either way you say it, it's the same thing. They will not believe. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. And then again he said, no man can come to me except my Father draw him. You see this crippling blow in the Garden of Eden left us not only unable to come to Christ, but unwilling to come to Christ. Unwilling. The problem's not with the gospel. The problem's not with the light. The problem is with the sinner. He's blind. The gospel sound is strong and clear. But the problem's not with the gospel, it's with the sinner, he's deaf. The provisions of Christ are sure and certain, and life is in him. But the problem's not with him, the life, the problem's with the sinner, he's dead. He's dead. I said that scripture's in the New Testament 6 times. It's in John 12, 39, 40 right here. It's in Matthew 13, 14, 15. It's in Mark 4, verse 12. It's in Luke 8, verse 10. And Acts 28, verse 26, 27. Romans 11, verse 8. We got a problem. Blind eyes, deaf ears, and hard hearts. That's the problem. And verse 41, these things saith Isaiah, when he saw his glory, Isaiah is Isaiah. And Isaiah, when he saw the glory of Christ, when he really saw the glory of Christ, the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ, he spake of him. Him. I told my Sunday school class this morning, we was talking about entering into his rest, which is twofold and yet threefold. There is a present rest. There is a rest for the believer called his rest, present rest. And there's a future rest, eternal rest. In Matthew 11, my Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Right now. Rest from the law, rest from the days, rest from the ceremonies, rest from the strivings, rest from trying to establish a righteousness, rest. Come to me. All you need is in me, and I'll give you rest. Now you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest. But he gives us rest. That's right. But as we learn more of Christ, the more restful that rest is. See what I'm saying? You rest in him, in Christ alone. Cast all our cares upon him. He's made unto me all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Christ. But they do not believe. That's the light. That's the gospel. That's the truth. Well, look at the next verse. Some claim to believe. There's a subtle form of unbelief. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men a whole lot more than the praise of God. Now when it says these men believed on him, we don't understand that to be saving faith. If they had really believed on Christ in their hearts, they would have confessed Christ. If they had really believed on Christ, they would have followed Christ. If they had really believed on Christ, they would have been willing to suffer for Christ. If they had really believed on Christ, they would have believed his word and preached his word and been identified with Christ. Would they not? Christ said, he that confesseth me before men, I'll confess him before the Father. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I'll deny him before the Father. So these men did not confess Christ. Oh, they were well versed in the Scriptures. They were students of the Scriptures. They were impressed with the name of Christ. They were impressed with the power of Christ. Nicodemus came to him and said, we know you're from God. No man could do these miracles except God be with him. One group said, well, the blind see. Has it ever been heard of that a blind man is made to see? This man must be of God. He must be the Christ. They were well versed in the Old Testament. They were impressed with his credentials. They were impressed with his morality. They were impressed with his power. They were, no man ever spake like this man.
But years later, where do we find Nicodemus?
Turn to John 7. Let me show you. Let me show you. John chapter 7, verse 46. Here stood Nicodemus one night. He believed on Christ. Many of the chief rulers and believers did. They were impressed. No man could do these miracles. Verse 46, 45. Then came the officers to the chief priest, John 7, 45. And they said, to him, why haven't you brought him? And the officers said, no man ever spake like this man. And they answered, are you deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? Now watch, Nicodemus was standing right there by him when this guy said, have any of us believed on him? Now read on. This people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus then spoke up. He's the one that came to Jesus by night, being one of them. And he was going to defend Christ. He says, now, gentlemen, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and knoweth what he doeth? Here's Nicodemus. See where he is? He's with the Pharisees. He's in their camp. He's one of them. If you have any question about Nicodemus' conversion, that'll answer it right there. Because one of his cohorts stood up and said, nobody in this room's believed on him. If Nicodemus had believed on Christ, he'd interrupted the man and says, I do. But he didn't. Does that answer it? And that's what he's saying right here in our text. They didn't confess him. They claimed to believe, but they did not want to suffer. They did not want to be put out of their modern religion. They did not want to be ostracized. They did not want to be different. They were willing to conform to this world and lose their souls.
because they love the praises of men more than the praise of God.
Men who really believe Christ. I've had folks ask me this. This preacher claims to believe the doctrines of grace, but he doesn't preach them. Does he believe them? Emphatically, he does not. Emphatically, he does not. We cannot help but preach what we have seen and heard. Isn't that what Peter said? And he also said this, you judge, shall we please God or men? You be the judge. These folks, here's this subtle form of unbelief. Many were impressed by him, awed by his miracles, overwhelmed by his voice and his message, and believed somehow, some way, somewhere on him. But they did
not really believe on him because they would not confess it.
You see, watch this next verse, now verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that really believes on me, he that believes on me. Oh, I want you to see this so badly. I'm trembling inside. He that really believes on me.
It is not just on me, but on him that sent me. Cecil, you see what I'm saying?
He that believeth on me, it is not I alone, but he believes the Father and his grand and glorious covenant and promise and purpose and kingdom and will and goodness and grace that sent me, that provided a substitute and a sacrifice and a Savior. He believes not just on me. Somebody said, just believe in Jesus. Not what he's saying here. Well, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's not what he's saying here. He that believeth on me, like Abraham, he believes God. He believes God. That's what Christ said to these apostles. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that believeth must believe that God is. God is what? God is what? An old granddaddy sitting up there hoping somebody let him have his way? Uh-uh. He must believe that God is. God is God. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is truth. God is mercy. God is love. God Almighty is. And Christ is a product of God's love.
That makes sense.
Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God who would provide a lamb. God who would provide himself a lamb. God who would provide a lamb for himself because it was necessary that he might be just and justified. Faith starts with God. Somebody said, well, just believe in the finished work of Christ.
You better believe in the one who designed it, who purposed it, who willed it, who executed it. It pleased God to bruise him.
Thou hast made his soul an offering for sin. Abraham didn't believe in the finished work of Christ. Abraham never saw it. He believed God, that God would someday provide it. And you couldn't shake him from it.
That's right.
And Abraham is the father of faith, the pattern of faith, the example of faith.
And that's where your faith had better start.
And I hear preachers say, don't preach doctrine. You better tell who God is, because folks will have the wrong God. They'll make up a God. You better tell who Christ is and what Christ did and why Christ did it and where Christ is now and why he came
and a righteousness he provided and a sacrifice he provided
and a priesthood which he has and has had forever. Or they'll trust the wrong Jesus, another Jesus. That's right. Oh, he said, watch it. Verse 45, and he that seeth me, he sees him that sent me. The Father purposed it. The Son purchased it. The Holy Spirit applied it. The Father thought it. The Son bought it. The Holy Ghost bought it.
You can't separate it.
And he that seeth Christ, the surety, sees him who made him surety in his sovereign pleasure. He that seeth the church, his bride, sees the one who gave him the bride. He who sees the bridegroom sees the one who made him the bridegroom, who set a tabernacle for the Son and gave all things into his hands,
and into whose hands those things will be returned. That's right. That God may be all in all.
Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Huh?
This is a generation of religious fools who are deceived and manipulated by preachers with tickling ears and itchy palms, who've allowed their whole congregations to perish because they believed on Jesus but would not confess him, for they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God.
For he that truly believes on me believes on him that sent me. Isn't that right? And he fears God. And he walks with God like Enoch of old. And he's going to glorify God if he loses his closest friend. For he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. That's how Abel was saved. Abel?
Abel couldn't have written you a dissertation on the sufferings of Calvary. That Calvary wasn't even Abel's vocabulary.
Huh? Yet he's an example of faith. But he believed God. And he brought a lamb and shed its blood because he believed God must have a sacrifice. There must be blood for the forgiveness of sin. And that God in his purpose and promise and in his wisdom and grace would someday provide
a perfect lamb.
Old Abraham struggling up the mountain with that young boy, Isaac. And Isaac said, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the lamb, my son?
Let me give you the foundation of my faith right here. God will provide himself a lamb. God will.
I didn't hear this preached when I was a boy, did you? They just told me to come down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand and tell everybody I wasn't going to do certain things and I was going to be baptized and join the church and believe in the finished work. And that was faith. That's my faith. That wasn't his faith. But oh, I see him who sent him, whom I see. There's a difference. Verse 46, watch this now. I'm come a light. Oh, light, so we can see the glory of God, so we can see the character of God, so we can see the will of God and the work of God, so we can see. We don't have to be running around here trying to find somebody who's got a little truth. The truth will make you free. But you got to have light
by which to see.
And I'm called that they might have light. And whosoever believeth on me will not abide in darkness, in the darkness of doubt and fear and death and error and the broad weight of destruction. See. Oh, I see. I see things I've never seen before. I'm seeing things every day I've never seen before. I've seen the scripture I'm preaching on right now better than I've ever seen it before. I see more, don't you? I see.
In the light of Christ.
It's not my intellectual ability. It's not. I didn't go down here to some human being and ask him to show it to me. I see it in the light of Christ. Learn of me. Learn of me and you'll find rest. Learn of me. He's the key of knowledge. These are things that are written concerning him. In verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe them not, I judge him not. Not now. Not now. I didn't come to judge the world. That's not what I'm doing right now. I came to save sinners. This mission, Christ came as the light, was not to condemn. The world was already condemned. He didn't have to come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. So I didn't come to judge them. I came to save them. In verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, he has one that judgeth him.
The word that I've spoken, that same day, will judge him in the last day.
What I'm preaching right now, if any man hears it and believes it, he's a child of God. But those that hear it and do not believe the word, do not believe Christ, do not believe Christ, well, he didn't come to judge you. What you believe about Christ or don't believe about Christ right now, that's not what judges you. Someday you'll face the very word right here, the word you heard, and it'll judge you. That's right. The very word that's rejected. Why? Because, verse 49, I've not spoken of myself. This is no new doctrine. This is no new revelation. I've not spoken of myself. The Father which sent me. He gave me commandment. He gave me the words. He gave me the gospel. He gave me the truth. He gave me what I should say and what I should speak. And this is the very foundation of faith. And I know that his word, his commandment, his word is life everlasting. Brethren, I know that. His word reveals what's in me, sin. His word reveals what's in him, love and grace. His word describes the righteousness he requires that I can't produce. His word reveals the righteousness he provides in Christ's purchase. His word speaks of what I must do and can't. But his word tells me what Christ has done. His word sentences me to death in myself, but his word brings me to life in Christ. His word convicts me and comforts me. It rebukes me and it refreshes me. It strips me and it clothes me. It shuts my mouth
and puts a song on my lips. His word.
I believe it. I believe it. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me to believe more. But I do believe. You know, Peter said, all things you know I believe. And my friends, the Word of God is the foundation of faith. Christ Jesus is the object of faith. But this thing of faith embraces all that God has said, the report that he has given. I believe God. And believing God, I believe Christ. And believing God, I believe his word. And believing God, I believe his promises. And believing God, I can rest. I believe it.
please.